Dear Heavenly Father, Lord, I'd like to thank you for everything you do. Lord, remove me from this and let your word speak through your vessel. Lord, we thank you for everything you do. Lord, we ask blessings on our pastor and our youth pastor. Lord, we ask blessings on our ministries, that they continue to grow. Lord, we ask blessings on our deacons. Help them to make wise decisions. Help them to grow. Help them to prosper, Lord. Help them to stay the men of God you've called them to be. Lord, we ask blessings over this church, not only just the building. We ask protection of the building, but we also ask protection of the people inside of it. Lord, we ask for growth. We ask for disciples to willingly volunteer to do things and help us to grow people and help us to know and help us to take it outside these walls. In Jesus' name, amen. I'd like to first go to Psalm 133, if you would. How good and pleasant it is when God's people live together in unity. It is like precious oil poured on the head, running down on the beard, running down on Aaron's beard, down on the collar of his robe. It is as if the dew of Hermon were falling on the Mount Zion, for the Lord bestows his blessing, even life forevermore. We live in a fractured world. Many churches are divided, and even a unified church like this, none knows how many marriages or troubled homes or tense homes or how many friendships are strained. God wants us to be one and unified, and Christ prayed for unity in John 17:11. I will remain in the world no longer, but they are still in the world, and I am coming to you. Holy Father, protect them by the power of your name, the name you give me, so that they may be one as we are. Now, not everything that was said by Jesus is written down, documented. Plenty of years, there was nothing documented. But this is something that Christ found that it was good, it was useful. It's what he wanted us to know, wanted us to convey. So I want that to kind of sink in just a little bit. Whenever you read the red letter Bibles or whatever, I've always heard that the words in red are the most important. It's kind of hard to argue with that. And I just want you to think about the things that are in there. There wasn't a whole lot of uselessness. It's a whole lot of useful tools and useful things that Christ has given us, spiritual, physical, material. When we speak about unity, we mean this church, the whole body of the church as well. Also our home, neighborhoods, communities, state, country, and world. First point I'd like to make is unity is well-pleasing. Behold how good and how pleasant it is for people to dwell together in unity. The word behold draws our attention to this. It's, hey, look, check this out. When people get along with each other, it's good and pleasant. Many things are good, but not pleasant. Other things are pleasant, but not good. Here's something morally good and emotionally pleasant about getting along with others. Suppose two families invite you over to supper on the same night. One is fighting among itself, the other was happy and loving, and mealtime there was a joy. Which invitation would you accept? Suppose you could attend one of two churches. The first was fragmented and the other was loving. Which would you attend? It's good and pleasant to dwell together in unity. My second point is unity is sweet smelling, like precious oil upon the head running down the beard of Aaron in the Old Testament. God used the act of anointing with oil to signify the setting apart of certain people for divine service. The oil represented the Holy Spirit coming upon someone, sanctifying that person for holy use. God instructed Moses, for example, to anoint Aaron as high priest using oil. Now, if you would, turn to Leviticus 8, verse 30. Then Moses took some of the anointing oil and some of the blood from the altar and sprinkled them on Aaron and his garments and on his sons and their garments. So he consecrated Aaron and his garments and his sons and their garments. I want to read this because occasionally we forget God is in charge and we think we can do whatever it is we think is best. If you would turn to Exodus 30, verse 1. The altar of incense, make an altar of acacia wood for burning incense. It is to be square, a cubit long, a cubit wide, 2 cubits high. Its horns of one piece with it. Overlay the top of all the sides and the horns with pure gold and make a gold mount molding around it. Make 2 gold rings for the altar below the molding, 2 on which of the opposite sides to hold the poles used to carry it. Make the poles of acacia wood and overlay them with gold. Put the altar in front of the curtain that shields the Ark of the Covenant. Before the atonement cover that is over the tablets of the covenant law, where I will meet with you. Aaron must burn fragrant incense on the altar every morning when he tends the lamps. He must burn incense again and when he lights the lamps at twilight. So incense will burn regularly before the Lord for the generations to come. Do not offer this altar any other incense or any burnt offering or grain offering, and do not pour a drink offering on it. Once a year, Aaron shall make atonement on its horns. This annual atonement must be made with the blood of the atoning sin offering. For generations to come, it is most holy to the Lord. Gives a unique recipe for the perfumed oil. It is made from four ingredients: olive oil, liquid myrrh, cinnamon, and cassia. If you would, this is in 22 of Exodus 30. Anointing oil. Then the Lord said to Moses, "Take the following 5 fine spices: 500 shekels of liquid myrrh, half as much, that is 250 shekels of fragrant cinnamon, 250 shekels of fragrant calamus, 500 shekels of cassia, all according to the sanctuary shekel of the hin and olive oil. Make these into a sacred anointing oil, a frequent blend, the work of a perfumer. It will be sacred anointing oil. Then use it to anoint the tent of a meeting, the Ark of the Covenant law, the table, and all the articles, the lampstands and all accessories, the altar of incense, the altar of burnt offerings, and all its utensils, basin, it is its stand. You shall consecrate them so they will be most holy, and whatever touches them will be holy. Anoint Aaron and his sons and consecrate them so that they may serve as priests. And they will serve me as priests. Say to the Israelites, this is a sacred anointing oil for the generations to come. Do not pour it on anyone else and do not make any other oil using the same formula. It is sacred and you are considered it sacred. Whoever makes the oil like it and puts it on any other priest may be cut off from the people. It is a sweet-smelling perfume as Aaron knelt before the Lord. Moses slowly poured this over his head, and it ran down his beard, saturating his clothing down to the fringes of his garments. It covered him with a unique, wonderful fragrance. According to Psalm 133, that's what the unity of body of Christ is like. We're talking about a people who were constantly bombarded by other cultures that told them how they worship. You see, in the Old Testament, lots of Asherah poles and things. God told them specifically what to do and how to do it. I know some of that is kind of dry to hear, and some of it is kind of hard to hear, but that's what Christ took place of. We don't worship before an altar anymore, but the things were specific. We're specifically supposed to do things for God in those times, with an entire world attacking what they were told. constantly. According to Psalm 133, and that's the unity of the body of Christ, it's something the Holy Spirit does as He is poured upon the church, saturating and drenching the people of God, making them one and bestowing on them a wonderful fragrance. With that in mind, let's read Ephesians 4:30 through 32. And do not grieve the Holy Spirit, which whom you were sealed for the day of redemption. Get rid of all bitterness, rage, and anger, brawling and slander, along with every form of malice. Be kind and compassionate to one another, forgiving each other, just as in Christ God forgave you. We're told not to grieve the Holy Spirit with whom we've been sealed, that is anointed. We're told to get rid of rage and anger. We're to be kind, forgiving each other. Many people feel like they've been mistreated in some way by parents, by a bully, by an employer, insert whoever you've ever had problems with. God gives us the Holy Spirit to enable us to trust Him with those people who make us angry and hurt us. There comes a point when you say, Lord, you know what my parents did to me. Lord, you know what my ex-spouse did to me. You know how I was treated in school. But Jesus loved me enough to die for me. And I know He's big enough to settle things up. I'm going to leave it with Him. One of the best remedies to anger is faith in Christ. And one of the functions of the Spirit is to give us wisdom needed to trust Him. And with this, with things that would otherwise drive us to rage. Matthew 5:9, you don't have to turn there. Okay. Matthew 5:9, blessed are the peacemakers, for they will be called children of God. Again, in James 3:18, peacemakers who sow in peace harvest righteousness. My third point is unity is life-giving. Unity is also like the dew of Hermon. This is the highest mountain in Israel. Its moisture runs into streams large and small that flow into the Jordan River, which runs north to south through Israel, irrigating and giving life to all the land. That is the way the unity of the Spirit. It gives life. A united marriage, friendship, ball team, or church, any other example, gives life to others. One that is divided has no life to give. I want to share a story by Robert J. Morgan. Years ago, I had a man in my church who was always angry with me. After every service, he would tell me something that was wrong with the music or the sermon or with the church. He was negative and critical all the time. Finally, I said, you know, we're not a perfect church, and I'm not a perfect pastor. But the real problem is your negative, critical, angry attitude. What are you so mad about? We had a blow up and he left the church. Years later, he came back and said, you know, you were right. I was being shafted at work and I was angry. It came out toward my wife. It came out toward my church. It poisoned my relationships. It just made me an angry, irritable, unpleasant person. Sometimes other parts of our lives spill out into other and hurt other people. Fourth point. Our churches are not designed to be ran by us. They're designed to be ran by Christ, His Word, being the Bible, and His Spirit, the Holy Spirit. We cannot run the church by ourselves, and we're not supposed to. When we take actions in our own hands, we pay the price for those actions. We stunt growth in the church. We hurt people around us. We hurt the church and the people we did not even mean to hurt. We grieve the Holy Spirit, and we miss out on blessings. But what does it say about us when we do not have unity? Disunity is displeasing. Raise your hand if you have kids. How many of you enjoy them fighting? Keep your hands up. It's horrible, right? Can't stand it. I'd rather be slapped in the face than hear my kids fight each other. Anybody else have that feeling? I mean, pretty constant, right? That's the way God feels about us. He wants us to get along. He knows we won't agree about everything. We're not even made to agree about everything. We're not. It's an impossible goal on this earth. My second point about that is disunity is stinky smelling. Who wants to be a part of arguments? Who wants to be misunderstood constantly? Who wants constant friction? Who flocks to that? Disunity is life-taking. It's dry. It's painful. Disunity is a Satan thing. He comes to steal our peace, kill our unity, and destroy God's church. To continue arguments, act unforgiving. Does anybody here have a bitter, angry, critical spirit? You need the Holy Spirit's help? Ask God to help you through that. Whatever has caused this, the Holy Spirit is powerful enough to help you. I believe Jesus Christ is real enough to give you an overcoming attitude. Bring your frustrations to Him and trust Him to do what He alone can do. And may He heal our homes, restore our relationships, give us patience, and make us one. As we sing a song, I'd like to invite anyone that needs to come before the Lord or the church for any reason. They like to talk and pray, and I'll pray with them if they would like.